Tonight I wish to take the words of Luke chapter 2 and the verse number 36 as my text. It's really just a little phrase in this verse, and it says, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And Christ's incarnation, it was an event that involved many different characters. In this chapter of Luke 2, we have mention of many various characters, and they include Mary and Joseph, who along with the infant Jesus, they are the main characters really in this account. But then you also have government officials mentioned. You have Caesar Augustus and Cyrenius are mentioned in the opening two verses. And Caesar Augustus, whilst undoubtedly he was a wicked pagan ruler, he was an instrument used by God who is sovereign over all things, and he was used to fulfill a particular purpose in instituting that census which resulted in bringing Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Thus the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 and the verse 2. But then there also is another group of characters. You have the angels and the shepherds. And the angels, they announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds in the fields as they watched their flocks. They were the messengers of God declaring to those shepherds that the Christ had come, the Messiah had come. In verses 10 to 11 of chapter 2 it reads, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a wonderful message it was to bring to those shepherds. A message that the Savior was born that very day. But then there were also some characters in the temple. And that brings us to verse 21 where we commenced our reading. And Mary and Joseph, they had brought the baby Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem. And they had brought him there to be presented unto the Lord. They brought him to the Lord's house. They brought him to the house of God. And certainly it is a good thing to bring children and young people to the house of God from an early age and enable them to learn the Word of God and to learn even how to sit reverently and such like in the house of God. But bringing him to the Lord's house, it fulfilled yet another prophecy. If we turn to Malachi chapter 3 and the verse number 1, we read there, it says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now that is speaking of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. But then the rest of the verse, it says, And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The messenger, as we said, who had come was John the Baptist. But here the Lord was prophesied that he would come suddenly to the temple. And this day had come when the Lord suddenly appeared in the temple in Jerusalem. He appeared in his house, fulfilling this prophecy. But in the temple, we are told of two individuals who Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus encountered. Firstly, there was a godly man called Simeon. We read of him in verse 25 and how that he was just and how he was devout. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. But then there was a second individual who encountered this family. This woman was Anna. She was a prophetess, and she is a wonderful example to believers. And tonight, in the time that remains, I want to consider some of the features of Anna's life and to see what we can glean from them. So as we consider Anna, the prophetess, we see that firstly, she was a widow. She was a widow. If we look at verse 37, it says, And she was a widow of about 84 years. Then verse 36, it says, And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She had been married to her husband for just 7 short years. She was a woman who experienced great grief, a great tragedy, a great hardship. She knew what it was like for a loved one to depart from this scene of time, to pass away and succumb to death. There's no doubt that life had been difficult for this dear lady. We do not know anything about our family, bar what is recorded for us here in verse 36 and verse 37. We do not know if she had children to raise up and support after her husband died. We don't know if she had to raise them up on her own. We don't know if she was left with no family at all. We don't know anything else about her. But all we know is that she must have experienced great grief, sorrow, and heartache. Maybe tonight that's describing you. Maybe this year has been very difficult. I think we can all testify and say that 2021 has been a very trying and difficult year for us all in all of our circumstances. But for others, it has perhaps been harder. It has been more difficult. Maybe there has been the death of a loved one. Or maybe due to sickness and illness, it has been difficult. Maybe there's been circumstances in the family, maybe in the workplace, or maybe there's been difficulties or trials with those who are your friends, and you have had great struggles, there's been great trials. You wonder, well, what can I do in the midst of such trials? Well, all I can say is be like Anna and keep your mind focused on the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. As we proceed through this message, we will see more about this woman and how she conducted herself. But whilst we just look at the hardship that she experienced, we can take note that the Bible has much to say about the trials of God's people. In one of our college classes, in our exegesis class, which is really an in-depth study of, say, a particular chapter of Scripture, and we go through that and we examine what the various words mean, and so on. In that class, we're going through the book of 1 Peter. And in that book, there's a mention of the trials of God's people. If we look at 1 Peter and the opening chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, we read there in verse 6, it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Now there it says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." Now that is speaking of God's salvation. The preceding verses will show that. We won't read them for the sake of time, but you can read them at your own leisure. What Peter is saying here is that even when we are in the heaviness of those trials, we can rejoice in God's salvation. We have something to rejoice in. The word. There are temptations. It really means trial or proving. And we could perhaps compare that with Genesis 22 and how God tempted Abraham whenever he commanded him to take Isaac and put him on the altar. The Lord wasn't tempting Abraham to sin. Rather, he was testing or proving his faith. But there is great joy in knowing that your sins are forgiven and that Christ is your Savior. But tonight, let me ask, can you say that tonight? Can you say that your sins are forgiven? Can you say that Christ is your Savior and that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? This time of year, many people, they like to celebrate Christmas. They enjoy the festivities. They enjoy the Christmas dinner, the receiving of presents, and all the rest that goes on with that. But yet they often forget the real and true meaning of Christmas. We think of how that man was sinful. He was born in sin. He was born in iniquity. And as such, he was destined for eternal judgment, eternal punishment. But the Lord seen the need, and he sent his Savior down to die on the cross at Calvary to make an atonement for sin, to make that way of salvation. The Lord did not have to send his Son. He did not owe a sinful man anything, but He had mercy upon man, and he sent his Son down to this world to be the Savior of the world. Tonight, have you called upon him as your Savior? Have you called upon the name of the Lord for his salvation? Anna faced a great trial as she was a widow. But despite that trial she faced, she continued on with the Lord. The scripture that we see there in the passage that we read, that she went and she worshipped the Lord. She went and she served him. She reacted rightly to the trials she faced. She cast herself on the Lord. Oh, that we would do likewise when we face difficult times. We can often run to family and friends and all sorts of other places whenever the going gets tough, when things get difficult, when things maybe look like they're in a mess. We run to everyone except the Lord. Oh, that we would come to the Lord. We think of Psalm 55 and the verse 22. It says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." We ought to bring those burdens, those trials, those difficulties, those things that distress us, bring them to the Lord. Cast ourselves upon him and let him deal with them. Oh, that our first port of call in trouble would be the Lord. But we've seen that Anna was a widow, and we sought to see what we can glean from that. But we see, secondly, that she was a worker. She was a worker. We see that clearly in verse 37. It says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day." We see the place of her work in that she was found in the temple. She was found in the house of God, and she sought to serve him in his house. She sought to be there at the various meetings that took place. And this godly woman, she had a desire to support and further the work of God. She was a woman who worshipped the Lord in his house in his appointed way. She had neglected the house of God. She may have missed out on the wonderful blessing that she experienced in the infant Christ being brought into the temple. If she hadn't have been there, she would have missed out on that blessing. Neglect of the house of God, it often results in missing out on the blessing of the Lord. She had a position or a role for verse 37, or rather verse 36. It also tells us that she was a prophetess. That meant that she was a teacher. She taught the divine message that the Messiah was coming. She taught the Word of God. And when we think of how she was teaching the Word of God, what a wonderful experience it must have been for her to have seen and witnessed the one of whom she had spoken of in front of her in the temple. What a wonderful experience that must have been for this dear woman. But then we also can make a comment about her age, for when we come to her age, there is much discussion about this, and I don't think we can be dogmatic either way. Some believe that the text means that she was 84 years of age, whilst others, they take the view that those 84 years, they're only counted from when she was widowed, from when her husband died. But either way, one thing we can say with certainty, and that is that she was an elderly woman. She was an elderly woman. She was a woman of great age. But yet her age did not stop her from going to worship and serve the Lord. It did not stop her from going and putting her hand to the plow in whatever way she could. And neither should it stop us. Maybe that you are older like Anna. Maybe that you are middle-aged, or it may be that you're a lot younger like me. It may be that you're wondering, well, I'm a certain age and I don't know what I can do for the Lord. But there is a work that you can do. And when we consider Anna's work for God, we see that from verse 37, that it really involves three things. It involves steadfastness. We see there it says in verse 37, which departed not from the temple. She was committed to serving the Lord in the temple. This was her attitude to the work of God. She was steadfast. She was committed. She was in the place where the Lord wanted her to be, and she was committed to it. There was going to be nothing held back. She was not an occasional attender or someone who put those non-essential things in life ahead of the work of God. No, she was committed. Tonight, are you committed to serving the Lord in whatever way he would have you to serve? Are you steadfast in your service for God? Are you a constant in the house of God? Are you constant in your support for the work of God? Then we see as well that there's not just steadfastness. There is also self-sacrifice. For we see in verse 37, it says, "But serve God with fastings." And that's how she showed her self-sacrifice. It was through fasting. And There was self-denial there. She was abstaining from eating in order to focus upon her work for the Lord. Work for God and involves sacrifice. Many, they will make sacrifices for all sorts of things. I remember a few years back, whenever I was a little bit fitter than I am now. College has that effect on your fitness. When you're so much studying to do, you don't have the same time to go out running and do things like that. But I remember back before I went to college, I used to play a little bit of football. And I remember I played for a team in Lurgan. There was mainly Christians in the team. And I remember back then, I would have went out running maybe 3-4 times a week on top of training, on top of trying to eat the right foods and taking it quite serious. There was a sacrifice on my part in order, I was denying myself, I suppose you could say, all the bad food, the junk food and things like that, and I was careful with what I ate. There was a sacrifice on my part in order to help me to be better at what I was doing. And today, many people will sacrifice for all sorts of things, whether that is for sporting or whether it's for educational achievements or whether it's in the secular employment. Many people will sacrifice in order to do better and better. But yet, whenever it comes to the one who has saved them from their sin, the one who has redeemed them by his precious blood, they are unwilling to make the smallest of sacrifices. Many cannot even sacrifice a few hours to attend the house of God, whether that's for a Sunday service or for a prayer meeting. And many cannot even make a small sacrifice to engage in a work for him. May that not be said of us. This woman, Anna, she made a sacrifice. She showed self-sacrifice by the fact that she fasted. May we do the same. But then we see as well that there's not just steadfastness and self-sacrifice. Anna's work for the Lord was also characterized by supplication. She was a woman of prayer. She was what we would term a prayer warrior. Oh, for more prayer warriors today. This woman, she prayed night and day. That's what the text tells us. It says, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was a woman who was constant in prayer. And I don't think I need to start expounding what prayer is. But let me ask tonight, are you a man or a woman of prayer? Think about that in your heart. Do you take the time to sit and to seek the face of God and to pray to him? Do you seek him regularly? Anna here was a woman, an elderly woman who prayed. And one thing we can say is that prayer is a work that all can do. There are many things that those who are older, they cannot do. I don't know Anna's physical condition. I don't know whether she was perhaps someone who maybe was very active, very agile, very fit for her age, or whether she was a woman who was maybe a little bit more unsteady on her feet. I don't know. We aren't told that in Scripture. But I think we could say that given her age, it would have been difficult for her to engage in the likes of the missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul engaged on. When we think of how we went across a lot of the Mediterranean world, there was a lot of traveling. He was shipwrecked. And many of the things that he faced would perhaps have been very difficult for a woman of this age to face. She may not have been able to have done that same work as the Apostle Paul to that extent, but yet prayer was a work that she could do. And what's more, it was a work that was just as important, or maybe even more important as she was praying to the Lord. Maybe that you're not able to go to the mission field. It may be that you're not able perhaps to engage or do much in that work of evangelism. But one thing you can do is hold the ropes and seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a work that those who are older, they can engage in no matter what their circumstances are. But it's also a work that those who are younger or those who are middle-aged can engage in. It does not matter if you're an elderly woman like Anna, or if you're a middle-aged person, or a teenager, or a child. If you have experienced the saving grace of God and salvation, you can pray. You can engage in that work. And there is at least one work that you can do for the Lord, the work of prayer. Anna was a woman who was characterized by her steadfastness in her fasting. She was also steadfast or committed in prayer. But tonight, can the same be said about you? Are you spending that time in the privacy of your own home, seeking the face of God in private prayer. We hear today about the word essential workers, essential services, and I suppose that's a side effect of the times that we live in. But one thing we can say is that an essential work is the work of private prayer. It is essential. It is a necessity, and we should strive to set aside even a little time every day to seek the face of the Lord. But also, public prayer is also essential. It is also necessary, and we ought to prioritize it. Today, there is a spirit of indifference across our land towards public prayer. It's often considered something that is optional, something that's not overly important. And in many places, the prayer meeting is often one, if not the most poorly attended meeting. Many places do not even have a prayer meeting. I remember back, I think it was maybe August time, I was preaching in a certain part of Ulster, and I was down there all day, and with COVID and the various regulations, it makes going for meals a little bit awkward. So I just brought a packed lunch, and I'd parked up in some car park somewhere, and as you do, nice sunny day, I thought I'd go for a dander, and I came across this old church building. Now, it was still used and fully functioning, but I couldn't help but going in and having just a nosy around sort of the churchyard, and I came across the sign for the church. And the one thing that I noticed was that on that sign, they had a Sunday service, they had all these meetings during the week, you name it, they had it. But the one thing that was missing was a prayer meeting. There was no prayer meeting in that particular church. How sad it is when we think of the state of our land, and we think not just of the spiritual nature of our land, but we look at the circumstances that we face today with this pandemic. There is a need for prayer, and there are many, they do not prioritize public prayer, but it ought to be a priority for us. We need a move of God in our land, and we need to pray for it. Tonight, let me ask, do you prioritize prayer? Anna prioritized prayer. She was a woman who seen that priority, and oh, that we would follow her example. She, as we said, she prayed night and day, and it brings to mind the words of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, where it says, pray without ceasing. We ought to pray without ceasing, both in private, but also in the public place of prayer. As we prepare to leave this old year behind us, this year of 2021, and we enter into a new year, let me ask, will you seek to prioritize prayer? Will you seek to prioritize the public and the private places of prayer? We often hear talk of New Year's resolutions, and I have to say I've made a few in my time and probably never kept them. But tonight, will you resolve to make that self-sacrifice, even if it's only a few hours or in the course of the week or a few minutes in the day, to be in the place of prayer, to pray for your families, to pray for your friends, to pray for this town, to pray for the work of God that the Lord would move? Will you prioritize prayer in 2022? We come to our final point tonight. We've seen that Anna was a widow. We've seen that she was a worker, and what a worker she was for her age. She was engaged greatly in the work of God. But then thirdly and finally tonight, we see that Anna was a witness. Verse 38, we read it says, and she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna had seen the Messiah in the flesh. And she gave thanks to the Lord, just like Simeon there, verse 38, it says, likewise. It's referring to what Simeon had said. She was thanking the Lord for bestowing a blessing upon her. But then see that after being granted this blessing, after she was granted it, she went and told others. She sought to be a blessing to others. She didn't just experience this and then go to her house and keep it to herself. No, she told others. She told others of the great things that she had seen. And we see the subject of her witness. It says, and spake of him. That him was Christ. That was the child who had been brought. by Mary and Joseph, who she had seen, she spake of him. He was the one who was presented. Is that not what we seek to do today? We seek to preach none but Christ. Christ is the only way of salvation. Salvation is found in Christ alone. Some people may seek to point you to a preacher or to a church or to good works or anything else like that. But the Word of God states, and what we seek to present, is that salvation is of Christ and in Him alone. He is to be the subject of our witness. This incoming year, may we seek to speak to others about Christ. May He be the subject of our conversation. Whether it's perhaps maybe if some have the opportunity to engage in a preaching ministry, or whether it's perhaps through tract distribution and a conversation starts, or whether it's with family, with friends, with those maybe the chance encounters that we may have as we go about our daily business, may we seek to speak of Christ and to speak of His redemption. May we speak of the great things that He has done for us. If you have been redeemed from your sin, you can testify with the hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. That hymn writer, she faced great trials. She was blind from an early age, but yet she worked for the Lord and she witnessed for Him. She penned the great words, "To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in." Oh, what wonderful words they are. We could shout a hearty amen to them. But tonight, can you sing those words from your heart? Can you sing and say, "To God be the glory, He has saved my soul"? I trust tonight that you will be able to say that. I trust that you will be able to say that you have trusted in the Son of God as your Savior and that His blood has washed away your sin. Then we see the society that she witnessed in. She went into the city of Jerusalem and she spoke of Christ there. She told others of Christ. Let me ask tonight, do you seek to tell others about Christ? Do you seek to inform them of the way of salvation, the way in which their souls can be born again? There's men and women and boys and girls outside this church, in this town, in this district, in this nation. They've never heard the gospel. They do not know the way of salvation. And how will they hear? Only if someone goes to tell them. As we said, there are many in this town who need the Savior. There are many, and they are caught up in the clutches of sin and the clutches of worldliness and ritualistic religion. They're trusting in good works. They're on that road that leads to a lost eternity. Will you do anything to reach them tonight? Will you seek to witness to them where and when the Lord gives you opportunity? Will you pray for them? Maybe tonight, though, what I've just said, those who are caught up in the clutches of sin and worldliness, or trusting in religion, or trusting in good works, maybe that describes you. Maybe you think that by coming here to the house of God, that's enough for you, for your salvation. You think that by sitting here week by week, that will get you to heaven. I have to tell you tonight that yes, whilst works, they are commendable, they cannot save your soul. Works cannot save. Anna was not saved by her works. But rather, these works that she did, they were evidence of her faith in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 8. I'm sure most of us know these words very well. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is not attained by our own works. It's not attained by what we do. It is attained by the work of Christ. Tonight, if you turn from your sin and repentance, and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust in His finished work in Calvary, you can be made right with God. And then you can work, and you can likewise be a witness for the Lord in this town. 2021 is almost over. We've probably, I think, five days, I think, left. Will you carry on in your sin? Or will you turn and seek the Lord while he is calling? I trust that you will turn and seek the Lord. May the Lord bless.